Well, good morning and welcome. Please do take your seats. It was great to have everyone join us in that song. We are in our Father's house. He's got many houses, and he joins together with us here this morning and is going to bring a blessing. So if you're here for the first time, you're very, very welcome. If you're here for the thousand and first time, you're very, very welcome as well. There will be a few photographs taken this morning from the sides. I think they're taking the worship team rather than the congregation. No one in the congregation will be included, so do feel comfortable in the congregation this morning. Let's pray as we come into God's presence. Father, as we think of our children this morning, and Lord, we want to bless them with copies of your word. We are thinking that we are all children of God, and we come into your house and we're all family together. And Lord, we pray that you would bless those in the different groups this morning who are rising or changing or moving, or even if they're staying put. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that the groups are bursting. Lord, we thank you so much. Father, we thank you for the younger generation filling the seats and the pews upstairs. Lord, we are so grateful to be a church of every age. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us this morning. Lord, if there's someone here who does not yet know that you are Lord, then Father, we pray that that would become apparent to them. And Lord, we know it's so important that what we say is true. Lord, if we lie in our daily lives, how can we then give testimony to your greatness? So Father, be with us as we hear the message this morning, and as we praise you and glorify you, giving you all the honor. Amen. Nathan's going to talk to us later on about our word and how important that is, how good is your word. And I'd just like to read a section from a psalm. I like to go through the psalms in the summer. And so this one's been on my mind. And it's Psalm 24. And the psalmist says, it's David, and it says, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Well, our doors aren't ancient. They're one of the newest parts of the building. But we lift them up, open them up, so that the King of glory may come in. We're just going to sing a couple of songs before we do give out the Bibles. But this first one, if we can't sing this and be truthful when we sing this, then our testimony goes for nothing. That he is the King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. Think about what you're singing. So please do stand if you're able and join me to worship together.
Majesty, God of heaven,
worship him in spirit and truth. And we need to say to him, I love you, Lord. Your mercy never fails me. We praise you for your goodness, and that like the father in the story of the prodigal son, you run for us with arms outstretched. Lord, we thank you that you welcome us into your presence, that you forgive our sins, and Lord, that you restore the relationship we need to make our lives whole again. Amen. Please do be seated, and we're going to give out some Bibles now. We have some children who are moving on, or who have moved on through their school years. Ricky's going to join me. We've got a couple of children moving or who have turned four, so they would leave the creche. It's a big pile. It's a big pile. And then we have a lot of year sixes who've gone into year seven over the past week, so bless them. I don't know if everyone's here, but we'll give it a whirl.
Well, hopeful. So we're going to do some transitioning instead. So the first one we're going to do, which is from Fresh to Ignite One, is Catherine. Is Catherine here?
Yeah, and Tony's bringing it down. Yay! Come on down. Catherine's on her way. Can I just say that if you have moved from year six to year seven over the past week, then you should get ready to move, because you're going to be coming down. Just shout. It's been a big week, hasn't it?
It's been a big week.
Yeah.
Next one we've got.
No. No. It's all right. No. We're getting the head shake. No, he's not here yet. So we still have a Bible.
So the next one coming up is Jacob.
Yes. We knew you were here. Come on.
He's refusing. I should have left him till last, shouldn't I? I'm going to go over to him.
Deliver it, that's it. Deliver the word of God.
The way he takes family gives you the most grief. Louisa, come on.
Yay. Excellent.
Eliana, if you're up there or anywhere, you can make your way down as well.
Yeah. On our way.
Elias as well. Elias.
Yeah. Come on. He's on his way.
We know Ryan's not here yet.
That was Jebediah.
And Jebediah as well. Is Jebediah in?
Oh,
yes.
Looks like he is. Well done.
Louisa,
are you ready to come and face me downstairs? Sure? And the team? There we go, look for that. You Bible. Elias, are you ready to face me downstairs? You would have put me straight already. I like it. Are you ready to face me downstairs? Sure. If you don't support Arsenal, you're not actually allowed down either.
Brilliant.
Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for those who are coming down into the youth.
Lord, as well, we thank you for those who are moving from Creche to Ignite One. Lord, we just pray that they just meet you, Father God, and that they just come closer to you and their relationship strengthens in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'll see you in about 5 minutes.
Excellent. Brilliant. I have to apologise to Jebediah. We weren't sure about spelling, so we haven't written on the sticker that's in the front of there. Rather than write it in incorrectly, we left it for you to do that correctly. I didn't want to get told off like Ricky did. So as we're thinking about the children, I will ask the big question. I bet I've let someone just go upstairs and they need to come back down. Have any of the children or younger people had a birthday over the past few days or over the coming days? I think we got quite a lot of adults in September, but Tallulah's not on her way down. She's May, isn't she? No birthdays this morning. Oh, I've got some new arrivals. Don't want to miss anyone out. Okay. I felt that it was a little bit like a school assembly in days of yore when I was thinking about the service and the handing out of the Bibles this morning. So I thought we would send the children off to their groups with a really good assembly hymn and send them out marching. I know that someone is going to, if you have not ever been down in the basement, that someone will help you get down there if you're going into the way one. So watch out for someone to give you a bit of guidance about where you go. You go from first floor going down into the basement in the underground, so it's not a rising when you go into the underground, you go down below, but they have a great time down there. So as you leave us, we are, as a congregation, going to stand and sing At the Name of Jesus. Give it welly, as they say. Please do be seated, and we'll bring a word of prayer before Nathan comes to speak to us. Father God, we have sung of your goodness, and Lord, we have sung that we want to follow you until our last breath. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to speak truthfully about your word. Lord, not to skip over the tricky bits. Lord, we need to tell people about sin and death. And Lord, we need to be bold as we speak about you. Father, we do pray that you would be with those who aren't able to be here this morning. Lord, we know that there are many who would really like to gather and would like to be enjoying the fellowship and the worship, but are unable. Lord, we pray for those people. Lord, we remember them. And Lord, we know that they are just too frail to come and join us. So Father, be with them wherever they are. And Lord, as we look out from here, Father, we pray for the other churches in town. Lord, everyone's got a lot going on. Father, we pray for those who need a new minister. Lord, we pray that you would fill those vacancies and that there would be strong church leadership across this town. And Father, we do thank you for those who are keeping things going. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen and embolden those teams who are working really hard. And Lord, we pray far away from this town too, Lord. Lord, we watch on the news earthquakes and disasters and terrible situations of war and of bloodshed and hospitals and buildings and everything being destroyed in various ways. Father, we do pray for those local churches. Lord, in each situation there'll be a group who are trying to help and from nothing give something. And we pray that you would bless those groups. Lord, we pray for the situations where people have no homes and no food and no clean water. And Lord, we ask that you would use the powers of this world to intervene. And Father, we thank you that there are people who can go, people who can restore and rebuild and rescue those in need. And Father, we pray for our forthcoming baptism service. Lord, we pray for those candidates who have come forward and have let their yes be yes and said, yes, we will be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would have your hand over them in the coming weeks. And Lord, as we focus on that at the end of the month and Lord, hear their testimonies, we pray that you would strengthen them and continue to be a blessing. Father, we do pray for all that is going on in this place. Lord, we pray that your hand and your will would be over everything. Amen. And Nathan's going to talk about our word. How good is your word?
How great is our God? Sing with me. Sing with me. Is our God. And all will see. How great is our God? How great? How great is our God? Say with me. Is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Now let's say he's the name. You're the name above all names, and he's worthy to be praised. Yes, and our hearts will sing. Is our God. Let's sing about his name. You're the name above all names. He's worthy of all praise. And our hearts will sing. Is our God. Thank you, Jesus. Majesty, worship His Majesty. On to Jesus be glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, Majesty, Kingdom,
Kingdom,
authority. Flows from His throne unto His own.
His anthem reigns.
So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Yes, magnify, come glorify the King. Majesty, Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus, who died, Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. One more time. Jesus, Jesus, who died, now glorified,
King of all kings.
Amen. God is good, isn't He? He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. God is good, and I'm so grateful to be here today, grateful for life. Every opportunity, every morning that we wake up is a blessing, and we should never take it for granted. We are here by the mercies of God. We are here by His grace. When I was growing up in church as a boy, they used to sing, I'm glad to be in the number. I'm glad to be in the number one more time. He didn't have to make me live. He didn't have to make me live. But I'm glad to be in the number one more time. Is anyone glad to be in church today? Anyone glad to be alive? I'm glad to be in the number. All right, I want to lift today from Matthew chapter 5. And we have arrived now at pit stop number 3 in our sermon series entitled The Jesus Life. And so far we have looked at the topic of, and the challenge in God's word, there in Matthew chapter 4, teaching us, number one, if we're going to live the Jesus life, then number one, we have to be approachable. Because Jesus was approachable to all. He made time for the crowds and for His disciples. But then number two, last week, we looked at another quality of Jesus, that Jesus, anyone remember week number two, last week? What was the topic last week? Huh? Influencer, yes. So Jesus wants us to be approachable, but in Matthew chapter 5, He told His disciples, I want you to influence the world. I want you to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So this week, we're looking at another quality of Jesus, and this is an interesting one, because here in Matthew chapter 5, from verse number 33, Jesus moves now to teach His disciples and the crowd that gathered there from the Sermon on the Mount. And He wants to talk about a subject of swearing oaths. Swearing oaths. This was very customary for the ancient Hebrews. In the Old Testament, they were very familiar with swearing oaths. They would do that on a regular basis. Now, in our day, we're familiar when it comes to important business matters. We would sign a document. We would sign. We would need to verify a document if we're going to purchase something large or a mortgage and things of that nature, any legal documents. It would require our signature. But in those days, back in the day, in the Old Testament days, there was no signing. They wouldn't do that. They would just simply swear an oath. And they would just declare it verbally. They would say, I'm going to do this. And they would often swear either by heaven, they would swear by God's throne, or they even would swear by the city of Jerusalem. And they would say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I pledge to do this. I'm going to do this. So Jesus wants to tackle this custom, this tradition, and he wants to challenge the disciples that they need to move away from swearing oaths, and they simply just need to just say simply yes or no. No, don't get involved in swearing oaths anymore, guys. But whatever you want to do, if you want to do it, simply just say yes or no. Let's see what he has to say. He says here in verse 33, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, the ancient Hebrews, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows that you've made. But I tell you, let's say I tell you.
I tell you.
Jesus says, do not swear an oath at all. Either by heaven, don't swear by heaven, for it's God's throne. Then he goes on to say in verse 35, don't even swear by the earth, for it is his footstool. And don't even swear by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Don't even swear, verse 36, by your head, for you cannot even make one of your hairs white or black. Verse 37, our key verse. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Yes or no. And then he says, anything beyond that, if you do anything else than that, this comes from the evil one. So you can see the tension here, because any Pharisee or any religious leader that would have been present, they would have been very upset with Jesus here, because they would have said, hold on a minute, you're going against the law of Moses. Moses taught us in the law, when you read the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, that we should swear oaths. It was customary. And now you're saying, Jesus, you're coming on the scene and you're saying, don't do it at all. Don't do it. And then he goes on to say, if you do it, it's really coming from the evil one. Isn't Jesus radical? So today I'm speaking from the topic, how good is your word? How good is your word? Friends, in recent days, there has been much reported in the media, in the news, a much spotlight placed on what is called the summer transfer window. The summer transfer window in professional football. Now, in particular, what really caused much debate and much talk in the sports news and media is, in particular, there is a player by the name of Alexander Isak, who was signed some years ago on a 5-year contract to play for Newcastle United. And 3 years into his contract, and he had some years left to fulfill on his contract, he made the decision that he wanted to leave. Even though he had an outstanding contract with some years to go on the contract that he signed, that he put pen to paper and pledged to be a part of that club for the next 5 years. But he says, no, no, no. I want to break the contract. I want to leave. Because Isak's head was turned this summer. Liverpool Football Club came in for him and said, Alexander, we want to sign you. We want to break the British transfer record. And we want to place a bid of 120 million great British pounds. But Newcastle rejected the offer and said, under no circumstances will he be leaving. Why? Because he's under contract. He signed a contract. And as far as we're concerned, he needs to fulfill the pledge that he signed. But over the summer, much back and forth was taking place between Alexander Isaac and Newcastle and Liverpool Football Club, to the point where Alexander Isaac decided to down tools. And he did not report back for training, for pre-season training. He said, I'm not coming back to my place of employment. Even though I signed my contract, as far as I'm concerned, I will never play for Newcastle United ever again. Let me go. I want to go and play for Liverpool. But then something happened, and something was reported in the media that just sent alarm bells in my mind and just fit in so perfectly with the message here today. It was reported amongst Alexander Isak's camp that there was, here it is, a gentleman's agreement. He claimed from his agent that Newcastle, that some of the officials at Newcastle, before the end of this last season, that they said to him verbally that we will allow you to go if a bigger club comes in for you. And as far as he was concerned, although he had a contract, he was adamant that someone promised him, that someone pledged to him, and here it is, someone gave him their word that they would let him go if a bigger club came in for him. A gentleman's agreement. How many of you know what a gentleman's agreement is? It's simply just, it's an old school way of doing business. You look them in the eye, you shake them by the hand, and you say, we've got a deal. You've got my word. We don't need to sign any contract. We don't have to go and see a lawyer. I'm going to look you in the eye. I'm going to shake your hand. You have my word. And I began to think about this, church, and I began to pray and think, how many times have we made a gentleman's agreement with God and also with each other? How many times have we promised to do something? How many times have we pledged to do something? How many times have we given our very word and we've shook hands to agree to the terms? But sometimes in humanity, there is a breach in the relationship. There is a breakdown in the agreement. Why? Because someone failed to live up and deliver their very word. How many couples around the United Kingdom and around the world who stood before an altar of a church and made promises to each other at the altar? They made sacred vows to each other at the altar. But for one reason or the other, those promises were broken. It's like in the old days, well, say old days, not really old days, but in the early 90s, there was a... not too long ago. There's a cheesy pop song. I think it's by the group All For One. And they sing a song, it goes, and I swear by the moon and the stars in the sky, I'll be there. And then they go on to say, for better or for worse, till death do us part, I'll love you with every beat of my heart. Some of you know that song, like me. How many couples, they made those vows? They sung the cheesy song. But something in life caused them to break the promise and the vow. How many kids, just this past week, they went back to school and they promised their mum and dad, I'm going to behave this year. They promised the teachers that this year is going to be the turning of a new leaf. But just less than a week back into the new academic year, there's already a report card that's gone home. Son or daughter's not been behaving themselves. Why? Because as humans, there is a tendency to make a pledge, to make a promise. But sometimes we fall short of our word. How about just if we rewind back to January? For many who perhaps said that this is going to be the year. This is my year. I'm going to join my local gym. I'm going to get in shape this year. How many of you made that pledge like me this year? I'm going to get in better shape. But now as we're approaching September, some of us haven't even lifted one dumbbell in the first 9 months of the year. Why? Because it's easy to say, I'll do this, I'll do that, I promise this, I vow this, I pledge this. But it's another thing to actually do what we say we are going to do. So I thought about this. How many times, just like Alexander Isaac, who believed that he had a gentleman's agreement with his club, how many times, even in our relationship with God, have we made vows and we've made promises to God that we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We promise God that we're going to stop doing those things which breaks his heart. We vow to God that we're going to deepen our prayer life. We vow to God that we're going to make time and prioritize time in our week to study his holy word. But yet still, we find ourselves watching Coronation Street and EastEnders and Hollyoaks and you name it. We have to be careful, church. It's easy to say we're going to do something, but do we actually want to put into practice those things in which we pledge and promise in our hearts? And such was the case here in Matthew chapter 5. Right here in the scene of our text this morning, church, Jesus addresses the crowd here on the Sermon on the Mount, and also his core team, the disciples. And he says, here it is, number one, he says, you need disciples to watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. It's time to move away from swearing oaths. In the Message, it says in verse 33, don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions. Now, this is interesting. As I said earlier, the ancient Israelites, it was a part of the law of Moses to make promises and vows, both to God and to each other. But Jesus says, I no longer want you, if you're going to live this Jesus life, if you're going to live this life as my disciple in the new covenant of grace, then I no longer want you to be so embedded in the deep traditions of yesterday. It's not that I have come to do away with the law, but because I have come in the flesh, I have come to fulfill the law. So the new way of doing things as a part of my kingdom and as a child of God is no longer to make pledges and promises, but simply to say yes or no, and mean what you say. Now, when I was a kid, growing up in school, in primary school, I remember kids were very familiar. We used to say, if we're sharing a story with our friends in the playground, and we're sharing a story, and sometimes we might not believe what the person is saying, and what one of the kids would say is, "I swear on my mother's life." How many of you used to familiar with that? "I swear on mum's life." Because even as kids, we recognized that if we wanted to get a point home and make our friends to believe something, a story or something that we're saying, that if we swear on mother's life, that will have a deep significance. And people will believe what we're saying. But the challenge with that, church, is you had to be very careful to listen. Because kids were very cunning. Because sometimes they would say, "I swear on my mother's knife." Knife. K-N-I-F-E. So you had to listen very carefully if they're saying life or knife. K-N-I. So Jesus says, these swearing of oaths, that's just old tradition. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, it's interesting because in Deuteronomy chapter 23, please do read it when you get home if you've got a chance. Deuteronomy chapter 23 is very interesting because the laws given to Moses, it gave very specific laws concerning swearing oaths. In fact, in those days, if a woman was to swear an oath, a couple things could happen. She could make a pledge and a promise, whether it be to God or to each other. She said, "I swear I'm going to do this by heaven or by Jerusalem or whatever." And they had to fulfill their promise. But if they didn't fulfill the promise, the Bible says that the husband could step in the gap and take on the burden of the pledge. But the law of Moses gave the husband a specific time frame. So if they didn't fulfill the pledge within a time frame, it could have devastating consequences. Crazy, isn't it? Because it was permitted under the law to swear oaths just as long as they came through on their word. They could even swear using God's name in their vows just as long as they didn't swear falsely. Because one of the Ten Commandments, of course, is you should not take the Lord's name in vain. So Moses allowed them to swear by God's name just as long as they were swearing something that was factual and true. If they were to swear a lie, that could have, again, devastating consequences. But Jesus comes on the scene and he says, "Watch your mouth, guys. Stop swearing oaths. Stop saying by heaven or by the earth, or because the earth don't belong to you. Heaven is not yours. The earth is the Lord's. So you don't have the audacity as a mere human being to swear by the earth when you didn't even create it." Be humble. Recognize that God created the earth. So simply just say yes and say no. But number two, not only should we watch our mouths, but Jesus goes on to say, the reason why oaths were in place in the first place. Here it is, number two, because the necessity of oaths is symptomatic of our sinful nature. The very fact that oaths were needed, it points to the fact that we have a fallen nature. Because when we really deep it and put it into perspective, we shouldn't have to swear by heaven or say like the kids, "I swear on my mom's life." Because really, the Jesus life teaches us just simply tell the truth. And people should believe what we have to say because we are Christians and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the very fact that oaths were instituted in the first place, it points to the fact that sin has come into the world. And one of those sins, of course, is lying. So to protect against truth and to protect against lying, oaths were instituted to bring about protection for the people of Israel. It points back to the sinful nature that Adam and Eve fell to the serpent's words, a lie. And they heeded to that lie. And as a result, sin came into the world. So we have to be mindful that not everything in this world is absolute truth. And we as church and as Christians, we have to demarcate between that which is true and that which is untrue. And there should not be any blurring of the lines. We live in a modern, postmodern world where people don't want truth anymore. But the church has to stand and stand up for the truth of God's word. That even though we live in a sinful and a fallen world, we have to stand on the truth of God's word. That even if the culture says yes, that's okay. Even if the society says yes, that's permissible. Yes, we respect the law, but we cannot go with everything that the world is putting in our way. Why? Because it points back to that sinful nature. And as believers and as those who are part of the Jesus life, we have to stand on the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. But third and finally is my final point this morning. Not only is swearing of oaths symptomatic of our sinful nature, but Jesus says the solution and the celebration. If you want to live this Jesus life, you no longer have to swear oaths anymore. But the Jesus life only requires a yes and a no. This past week, I had the privilege of sharing at Bright Hour on Thursday. And we were talking about heaven. And some of those dear ladies there at the Bright Hour, they asked some very challenging questions about what is heaven going to look like? Will we have memory in heaven? Will we be able to recognize our loved ones in heaven? And do you know, as a pastor, one of the most liberating answers that I have discovered? You want to know what one of the most liberating? I don't know. There's some things that we just don't know. And our job is to speak where the Bible speaks, but be silent where the Bible does not speak. It is not our job to interject what we feel like is going to be the case. But we got to speak where God speaks, and then we've got to trust the rest into his capable hands. And say, like the old hymn writer, we'll understand it better by and by. But Jesus says, if you want to live this life, if you want to go about your daily business, whether it be at work, whether it be at college, whether it be in your community, amongst your dealings in business, all you need to do, don't swear oaths, don't swear by heaven, don't swear on your mum's life, like Torridon Junior School kids back in 1998 or something like that. But all you need to do is say yes and say no. You know, one of the things as I've been reflecting on my own life recently, as soon and very soon, by the grace of God, I will be a father. And one of the things that I, by the grace of God, want to pass on to my daughter. When I was in school, one of the things that I struggled with is the peer pressure of the crowd. As a Christian at school, I did not always stand up for right, because I just wanted to fit in with the crowd. I did not have the boldness back in secondary school to always say no. And I regret that. And I pray for my daughter, and I pray for all of our young people, that they will have the boldness to live this Jesus life at school. That whenever they are presented with things that are not right, that are not what they have been taught through the Word of God and by mum and dad, that they will have the boldness and the tenacity to say, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not going there. No, I'm not speaking like that. That's not a part of the Jesus life. No, I don't want to try that. No, I don't want to smoke that. No. Why? Because my yes is reserved for Jesus. I believe that that's not just for the young people, the children, but that's for each and every one of us. Jesus wants us to have that boldness. That even if the social pressure of society is saying, you've got to go along with this, that's the right thing to do. If it's against God's word, we have to have the boldness, even if we're in the minority, to stand out from the crowd and say, no. I love you. I care for you. I respect you. I will not belittle you. But I cannot go through and accept that which violates God's word. Yes or no? So I'm closing now, but I want to pray for us today. The message from Jesus this morning is very simple. In your everyday life, in your relationships, at work, whatever you do, there's no need to swear oaths anymore. There's no need to swear by heaven or by the earth. But all that's required is simply yes or no. And if you don't know, be bold to say, I don't know. That is the Jesus life. By God's grace, I will do this. By God's grace, I will do that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that we can learn so much from the ancient tradition of swearing oaths. That, Father, through the new covenant, you are teaching your disciples to no longer rely on those old traditions. But you want us, as a part of the Jesus life, to be people of our word. Men and women of our word. Lord, would you help us so that we can fulfill those things which you have placed in our hearts, so that we can live a life of integrity, so that we can live a life that honors you and glorifies your name. Lord, we're mindful that as human beings, we don't always get it right. We don't always come through on our word. We don't always do the things that you want us to do. Even the Apostle Paul, he struggled with that. He said, those things which I want to do, I do not do. But I pray for each and every one of us, myself included, but that by your grace, by your empowerment and enablement, that you would help us to be people of our word, that our testimony would stand out in this community, in this world, that we would mean what we say, and that we would live what we say. And that the world will see within us as your children that we are people of conviction, that we are people of purpose, that our yes means yes and our no means no. So we magnify your name, continue to challenge us each day that we don't hearken to those old traditions of old, but that we would move forward in the covenant of grace that you have prepared for us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as the worship team come, I want to offer an invitation to discipleship. Because as we've heard today, as human beings, it doesn't matter how good we think we are, sometimes we fall short of our word. We've been a Christian for 1 year, 50, 60, 70 years. There are times when we come short of our word. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ has also made some promises. But unlike humanity, Jesus will never fail on his promises. The promises of God, the Bible says, are yea, yes, and amen, through Christ Jesus. And whatever he says, he will do. His word will not return to himself void, but it will accomplish everything that it sets out to do. So if you're here today, friend, and you don't know Jesus for yourself, maybe you've been let down by people, you've been let down by relationships, you've been let down in this life, but I'm here to boldly declare to you, and there's so many witnesses that will share with me, that you can trust in God. He will never let you down. His promises are sure. You can trust in his word. If you don't know Jesus for yourself, today would be a great day to get to know Jesus. If you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus, why don't you be bold now to raise your hand and say, preacher, I want to give my life to Jesus. I trust in him. I believe that he won't let me down. Is there anyone here today that wants to give their life to the Lord Jesus? Anyone wants to give their life to the Lord Jesus? Please do raise your hand. Martin, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? Maybe you are a believer, but you've not yet been baptized according to his holy word. And you want to make a public declaration of your faith. Is there anyone here today? Oh, yes. That's my cousin and her now fiance, Alex. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm going to tell you about Alex. He showed me up some weeks ago. He proposed to my cousin on the beach of Jamaica. And when Anna heard about it, she said, you see, you, why can't you be romantic like Alex? So, you put me in trouble, man. But thank God for that. They want to get baptized. Amen. Auntie will be so proud. She's in Jamaica at the moment, but she'll be so proud. Praise God. Amen. All right, we're gonna sing, but I want to pray for these dear ones, for those that are going to be baptized. And we do have a baptismal class after the service, and we have a date coming up very soon. So feel free if you want to stop by. Alex, Rianne, if you want to stop by after as well, you feel free to do so. And you can come to the baptismal class after the service. Let's pray for Martin as well. Lord, and also I want to, Paul, please join me. Have we got the oil? Let's anoint him with oil, because I know he's been dealing with some physical challenges, and we want to pray for him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Other deacons as well, if you want to join us, feel free to join. Let's anoint him with oil. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we anoint our brother with oil in the name of the Lord. We thank you for his life. We thank you so much, Lord, for his desire to honor you and to serve you. We thank you for the commitment that he has made and the recommitment, Lord, to follow your way. And we pray that you would minister to his heart now. We thank you that you are the God of grace. And you promised in your word that you will never leave nor forsake us. We pray that he would just cleave and cling to your promises now. That he would lay a hold of the precious gift of salvation. And that you would overshadow him with your Holy Spirit. And we do pray, Lord, for his physical needs now. We ask, Lord, that you would heal him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. That you would anoint him with your precious anointing. That, Lord, every sickness, Lord, everything that's causing pain, that would be released now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give him a testimony to share of your healing power and your healing virtue. We thank it now. Thank you now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. There you go. Thank you. Amen. 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 Worship team, please lead us in song as we prepare to close.
Let's stand together to sing, shall we? Ancient words. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Oh,
God be the glory. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, and please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees. Thank you so much. And also, I want to, I think there's some of members from the Hope Church who are with us today. I see them over in the corner. Gordon, let us know you'll be with us today. Thank you for coming. Oh, it's good to see Natalie. Good to see you. Good to see you. Let's praise God for them. Amen. Hope Church, they are our sister church, and we thank God for them, all that they're doing. And we're continuing to pray for you and for your congregation. God bless you. And for anyone else who's visiting with us for the first time today or revisiting, we thank you for coming today. And it'll be good to fellowship with you if you don't have to run off. We'd love to shake your hand. And we won't make any gentlemen's agreements, but we'll love to shake your hand. And thank you so much for coming. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this service today. Thank you so much for the worship team, for leading us in worship. And we thank you for your word, encouraging and challenging us today, that we don't have to swear oaths anymore. Those who are part of your kingdom, that we simply have to say yes and no. And by your grace and by your mercy, we hope and we pray that we can be people of our word, that our yes will mean yes and our no will mean no. And if we don't know, we don't have to lie and say we know when we don't know. We just have to say, I don't know. Let me do some research. I'll find it out. So we thank you, and we pray we'll have a fruitful and a blessed week. And until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you for your prayers for Anna and myself. And we have about one more week left now to go. So I'm scheduled to preach next week by the grace of God. But if I'm not here, you know why. But God bless you all. Have a great week.